In the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. The legislature voted today against overriding Governor Mike Dunleavy's vetoes of funding for school bond debt reimbursement, rural school construction, and the ferry system. The vote was 37 in favor of the override and 20 against it. That fell short of the 45 votes needed for an override. Alaska requires the highest share of lawmakers to vote for budget veto overrides of any state. Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman voted for the override. He says shifting the cost of school construction to municipalities puts local officials in a difficult position. He raised the possibility that local officials would have to choose between classroom teachers and paying bonds before imagining what they would do if they were in the legislature.
If I were sitting here as a school board member voting, I would have no other choice. No other choice if I'm going to stand up for education but to press the green button.
Big Lake Republican Representative Mark Newman voted against the override. He said his constituents are willing to forego bond debt reimbursement by reducing state spending, in order to reduce state spending. That's despite the Batanuska-Susitna borough growing by roughly 400 children annually.
That's a new school every year. But the people in the Matsu have said, you know, we'll get by with what we got. We'll make it work.
Dunleavy administration officials have noted that school districts statewide have $500 million in reserve accounts, but override supporters say much of that money is committed for other expenses or is needed to maintain local bond ratings. Administration officials also have said he'll propose roughly $12 million for the ferry system as part of a supplemental budget bill in early February. Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes voted for the override. She says the override is a separate issue from the supplemental budget.
There was more testimony and support of increased ferry funding this last year than there was of any other issue.
Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes voted against the override. She says she knows the ferry veto isn't easy for coastal communities.
But we make lifestyle choices. That's the unique and great thing about this state. We have a diverse place to live. And, you know, when you choose to live on an island, there are things associated with that. When you choose to live where there are no roads, there's transportation issues you have to deal with.
The legislature took the vote during a joint session one day ahead of the constitutional deadline. A Seattle-Tacoma airport traveler became ill last week with a confirmed case of the new virus that public health officials around the world are tracking. It raised flags for Alaska's public health officials. State epidemiologists are alerting the public and healthcare workers about what to watch for and what to do. Most of the advice, it's the same as for regular flu season. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Louisa Castrodale is an epidemiologist with the Infectious Disease Program at the State Department of Health and Social Services.
We're watching very carefully to see how this infectious disease, this novel coronavirus, acts. Is it something that is acting similarly to the other novel coronaviruses that have happened? And hoping to pass that information on widely when new information is known.
It's novel because it's new, or at least scientists just identified it in December. And it's a coronavirus because it has crowny spikes. It looks sort of like the sun. Symptoms include cough, fever, and trouble breathing, similar to other known coronaviruses that range from the common cold to SARS. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says this one is spreading from person to person, but it's unclear how easily. The outbreak of this new virus began in the major Chinese city of Wuhan. So far, more than 800 people have gotten sick, and at least 25 have died. The SeaTac traveler came from Wuhan.
Having it hit so close to home in Seattle, we're only another plane ride away, and I know there's a lot of traffic international through Anchorage.
That's Charlie Gribben, infection preventionist at Bartlett Regional Hospital. She's getting updates from state and federal epidemiologists on the new virus. Gribben says the risk of an outbreak in Alaska doesn't change much for hospital visitors and employees. They're taking the same precautions as they would during the flu season.
The flu makes people sick, and it causes a lot of deaths over the year. So I'm more concerned with keeping control over the flu.
That means giving masks to visitors who are coughing, keeping hands clean, and isolating certain patients. Hospital staff have gear they can use ranging from basic masks to stuff that looks like a biohazard suit in the movies. Some things have changed since the new outbreak.
So we do ask everybody of their travel history. there's a whole long list of triage questions. Our nurses even ask if you've had a flu shot. So it's quite intense. When you come in, you get a ton of questions.
Suspected cases get reported to the state. Right now, only the CDC is able to test for it. So if the hospital suspected it had a case, they could collect things like spit or blood and send it to Atlanta for testing. Gribben says there's regular staff training on how to handle a potential outbreak. That said, she only knows of one case at Bartlett that triggered a hospital response over and above business as usual. It was a little before her time at the hospital, during the 2003-2004 SARS scare. SARS was another respiratory virus that spread around the world and killed hundreds of people. Jan Beauchamp was Bartlett's infection preventionist at that time.
Oh, it was quite an event.
She remembers it was an elderly Canadian woman. She had a layover in a SARS hotspot in Toronto on her way to an Alaska cruise.
When she was on her way to Skagway, she became ill and they transferred her off the boat and to Bartlett Hospital.
Her fever, pneumonia-like symptoms, and travel history fit what the CDC said to look for. When the CDC test results came back, Beauchamp says it wasn't SARS. So Juno didn't have a SARS outbreak or an outbreak of whatever pneumonia-like bug the cruise ship passenger did have.
We were in good shape when it all happened because that was my job. I was anticipating that eventuality could happen. And having so many people come visit us from all over the world in cruise ships in the summertime is, you know, it's always a potential public health situation. So we're vigilant and cautious.
For now, the CDC considers the risk to the general American public low. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The legislature has found a replacement for longtime finance director David Teal, who retired last month. Juneau resident Pat Pitney will step into the role that Teal held for 22 years. She says she's looking forward to starting her new job and feels well prepared.
I've worked with the legislature, you know, pretty much throughout my entire career at the university. And so it's nice to be able to continue to serve during this time in Alaska's fiscal challenge.
Pitney has a lot of experience with state finances. She was former Governor Bill Walker's director of the Office of Management and Budget. Before that, she was the point person on the budget for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Teal says the legislature has some pretty big financial decisions that it's grappling with right now. And the finance director doesn't tell the legislature what to do. Instead, they provide lawmakers with nonpartisan information that they need to make those decisions.
I don't want to say we don't advise, because I think that we do. When people ask us about something, I mean, our answer is never, you should do this. It's, okay, here are your options. Here are the pluses and minuses of each of these options. So make up your mind. We're not going to do it for you.
Teal left in December, well before Pitney was tapped for the role, but he does have some advice for her.
I think that some of Ledge Finance's credibility depended on being able to be in front of a committee and answer whatever's thrown at you, and you can't do that without granular detail.
And that's a challenge that Pitney says she's ready to tackle. $3.5 billion. That's the yearly financial cost to the state from drug and alcohol abuse, according to the latest figures from a prominent report. Working with a research consulting firm, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority released an updated estimate of the financial impact of substance abuse on the state economy. The report documents an 11% increase in costs since the last version was published based on 2016 data. However, researchers caution that some of those increases could be attributed to changes in the research methods. The updated report says that when it comes to alcohol dependence and misuse, Alaska has the 10th highest rate among states in the nation. Turning now to weather, expect more snow showers off and on this afternoon and evening with accumulation less than 1 inch. That will turn to widespread snow showers overnight, bringing an additional 2 inches. It looks like we'll hang on to the freezing temperatures at least through part of the weekend. Saturday could bring up to 3 more inches of snow and high in the low 30s. It will warm up overnight and likely turn to rain showers by Sunday afternoon with high in the low 40s. It's currently 33 degrees with light snow at Juneau International Airport. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. You can find tonight's stories as well as more news and information at our website, ktoo.org. And for a weekly digest of local and statewide news, you can sign up to receive our newsletter, The Signal. That will come to your inbox every Tuesday. The sign-up form is at ktoo.org/thesignal.